Hi, I'm Orbert Davis, and welcome to the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic Jazz Cast Series, where we sit down with music legends as well as rising stars to hear their stories. This monthly series is all about sharing experience and knowledge with you. Thanks for tuning in. For more, visit chicagojazzphilharmonic.org. Let's do it. Okay, how are we doing? Hey, Sarah.
It's good. It's good now.
Well, I'm so excited. I'm having a great conversation with one of my favorite people in the entire world. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads, Zara Zahadieva. At first, I'll talk about the video that you saw. That was from a concert just about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. No, last year. Was it last year?
Last year, last July. Yes, last July. 22nd.
Exactly a year ago.
Yep.
At Vermilion Park. Zara is an incredible classical violinist and jazz violinist, and she just happens to be the section leader for Chicago Jazz Philharmonic. All right. So Zara, we're going to talk a little bit about your story, which is amazing. Let's start at the beginning. Where are you from, and what brought you to Chicago?
I'm Bulgarian, and I have started playing the violin since I was 3 years old. And when you're little, you kind of do what your parents tell you, and maybe there's a stage of rebellious. And so I was really good at the violin for a few years, and then I became like in a age 10 through maybe 14 that I started just being interested in basketball and martial arts and all kinds of other things, and kind of got a little distracted. So it's very important for me that I found my way back to being in love with the instrument. So now 20 years later, we're here, and I'm just very grateful that that's what I get to do, is to play music. So while sometimes we disagree with our parents, is most of the times it's very good to do what they kind of ask of us, because they can kind of see in the future more than we can. And so for me, I really wanted to come to the United States because I love, love, love basketball. And my most favorite person I ever wanted to meet was Michael Jordan. And I, of course, always associate Michael Jordan with the Chicago and Chicago Bulls. And so when I came, I did not speak English. I did not know anyone. So for me, it was truly opening the map and deciding where I'm going to go. That's how I got to be here. And that was in 2001 or 2001, I think. Yes.
So I have to ask two questions. Yes. First of all, how old were you when you made the decision to leave Bulgaria?
18 years of age.
You're 18 years old.
Yes.
Wow. And so you looked at a map and said, Chicago.
Chicago, no doubt.
So did you know anything about the music in Chicago before you made the choice?
No, I did not. I knew about the music in America, not necessarily the blues, not necessarily the jazz, not necessarily the Mississippi in Chicago, but the music in America, that which really two names I associated with, which was Stevie Wonder, my greatest hero of all times, and Aretha Franklin, because, you know, my parents really, really dug Aretha Franklin. And actually, my father loves Janis Joplin. So that was my knowledge as far as American music goes, you know.
So I want students to think about that for a second. You're 18 years old, and you made a major decision that would affect your life and your future? And some of our students are as young as 10 or 11, but some are in high school. Wow. I could not imagine making that decision at 18 years old.
I guess you just got to follow your instinct. You got to follow your heart. And you have to know that when you are doing something truly from the heart, with truly just passion and good intention only, because of the art form or because of the desire to play basketball in America, or because of the fact that you just want to be independent, or whatever it is, that pureness that you start, not I want to do this because if I do it I will get that. No, you do it because that's just the only thing you want. And that to me is so important, is the intention. It has to stay pure. Because one thing I've learned, especially recently, everything is balanced. Everything in this world is balanced. So whatever you cut short, it's going to come, you know. So your character is more important, and then you do what comes out of your decisions through that character.
Exactly. Wow.
Well, I knew that I really, really want to play my violin, but how do you get into a new country? Initially, I didn't even know or have a place to sleep. You know, I didn't know anyone. So actually, I spent a night at the airport sleeping on the benches. As in, fate has it, a lot of the people that work there, so as they were passing, I hear Bulgarian speech. So I ran to them and I said, is there a Bulgarian cultural center or anything? I could go look for apartments. I had $200 with me. That was my, what I had. And so they pointed me how I get on the blue line. I get a ticket. And actually, off of the blue line stop on Irving Park was a Bulgarian cultural center. That's where I found an advertisement where I'm going to start living. And then for an apartment, a room. Then I started working actually as a server because I didn't, again, how do you just start playing music? I continued to practice in the basement of the building I was living, because my, you know, people didn't really like the violin like this all the time. And I think maybe some neighbors still don't, but oh well. And it wasn't until, it was actually one of the most interesting moments when my job, I had to quit. It was some not nice things going on. And I was very confused. 2 months later, it's the middle of the winter. 2 months later, do I go back? Do I disappoint mainly myself and then everybody that maybe thought that I will not be returning so quickly? Do I still pursue my dreams? And I saw an ad for walking by the beach in April. Don't know why, but in April, I saw an advertisement for Beethoven sonatas by violin and a piano concert, and it was free admission, so it was no charge to go to the concert. So I did. And to fast forward this story, this is where I heard this violinist. It changed my life completely. Just, it's very interesting, when you are the most in doubt in your life, certain things will bring you back to the most hopeful of places. Yeah. And the sound of music, or how people were holding their hands, and you see 70-year-old or 80-year-old people enjoying a beautiful performance. And so for me, my whole outlook changed, and it gave me this jump to want to continue. So I wanted to simply say thank you to the violinist, very unsure of how I'm going to even say it with my lack of language, and just really wanted to say thank you. And I already know this story, but I still really like it. The only words that I can say, after even practicing so much in my head while waiting on the line to shake the violinist's hand, the only words that came out of my mouth were, very thank you. And I just wanted to leave because I was mortified. It was very thank you. That's it. But I had practiced so many other things. But anyway, he took a time. His name, Stefan Hirsch, he took the time to stop me while I wanted to just kind of escape. Embarrassed,
yeah.
And to ask me, do I play any instrument where I'm from? And fast forward, then I was on a full scholarship at DePaul University, where he was a professor. And that's how school started. And then I went to NIU with Shmuel Ashkenazi. And so
Wait one second. So you said very thank you. And the next thing you know, you're getting a full scholarship to DePaul University?
DePaul University for the entirety of the time.
It was okay. So you must have been very, very good.
Not really. But so basically, because I just graduated, well, okay, let's start with this. In Bulgaria, I'm sure like in Cuba, like in many places, when you go to music high school, it's kind of very kind of, I don't mean to brag about my country, but it's kind of a very high level, you know, when you're specialized, you go to high school for specialized something, whatever it is, mathematics, language, music in this case, it's actually very advanced. Actually, when I went to the solfege class in university here, the stuff that we did in senior year, stuff that I've done in my ninth grade, you know, transcribing symphonies or being able to put everything down on paper just by ear,
oral training.
Yes, this is something you do in high school for all our lives. And so I think in that regard, because I just had graduated essentially like 6 months earlier from my high school, in that regard, my chops of the final things I had to play, you know, scales, Mozart first movement concerto, some caprice, I think I played Wieniawski. And so the stuff that was already there prepared, I kind of continue to just practice this every day, just so I don't lose my, you know, sensibility.
Chops.
Yeah, chops. Yeah, my chops. And so in that regard, I think I was fortunate that I had kept it, you know, and then I was able to play for Stefan Hirsch, who said, excuse me, wait here. And then 40 minutes later, I was in his office in the music building. 40 minutes later, he shows me, he's like, how would you like to start on a full scholarship studying with me? So that was amazing.
That's a blessing. That's absolutely amazing. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit. And so from DePaul, you went to Northern Illinois University, which is also an incredible school.
It really is, yes. And at the time, the Vermeer Quartet, they were in residency there for many years, actually. And all of the members of the Vermeer Quartet were teachers in their field.
Right. So
I've always heard Shmuel Ashkenazi and the recordings of the Vermeer Quartet on records in my high school, in the library. I mean, it was like, I don't know, if you hear Michael Jackson or somebody, I don't know,
right,
in the club store, you know?
Right.
And so, Shmuel Ashkenazi, I found out he teaches there. This is another crazy story, Orbert. I don't know. When I went and just showed up at his one of his private students, tell me where he lives in Chicago, because she sounded so good. And I was like, wow, you sound amazing. Where do you study? She was practicing at the DePaul University, but she actually wasn't going to DePaul. She was just practicing there. And she told me that she studies privately with Shmuel. And I said, Shmuel who? In my opinion, I was thinking he lives in Germany, I think, you know. So she tells me where. So I go. It's a big high rise on Lakeshore Drive. And I go and I ring on the doorbell and it's like, hello. It's the 13th floor. And I was like, hello. And the person answers, yes. I was like, my name is Zara. And this is truly what I say. My name is Zara. I'm not a serial killer. I played a violin because this is the only way to be like, please don't hang up. Please don't hang up. I want you to know right off the bat, I'm no danger. And I said, you know, I didn't know the word stalker, I guess, at that time or something like that. So I only knew, you know. So I said, my name is Zara. I'm a violinist. I'm not a serial killer. Please, can I play for you? And literally it was a moment of silence. But I would not leave. And Shmuel buzzed me in and I went to the 13th floor. His wife opened she's an amazing violinist. She's from Romania. She's unbelievable. She opened. She was like, I guess, come in. So I did. I played for him. And this is how I ended up going to Northern Illinois University.
I think it's time for a clip. I want to show this clip. You haven't seen this. I haven't told you I'm playing this, but I want everyone to see this, the next clip. Can And I have no way to know if it's playing or not because I shut down my...
You know, I don't see it on my end.
No, we're not going to see it.
Oh, okay. I see.
It's at the bottom. At the bottom of what?
Of the ocean.
Yeah, I don't see it. I had to...
In this room, it's right here, the only nice room we have.
That's right. Okay, so I'm going to start with the interesting story about you discovering jazz, because I've heard this. I heard that you were walking in Northern, and you heard this music coming out of a room, and you peeked your head in the room, and yeah, the music probably was interesting, but you saw this particular bass player, and you said, I want to learn how to play jazz.
Isn't that why we play music to get guys and girls, I guess.
I don't know. My wife is not a musician at all.
Oh, man. Well, I bet by now she is. She probably knows more than, you know.
Yeah, well, she does. Go ahead.
Well, in any case, I heard the big band of NIU, which, you know, if you haven't heard close up jazz big band swinging, man, it will knock your socks off. It's just the best music, especially when people were all together and feeling it together. Oh, and in tune and like super killer rhythm section. I mean, amazing. So anyway, that's what I heard. I was like, what is going on? Is this even music being played live? And then I open, it's this big band, and I zoom in on the bass player, who is very good looking. And I was like, listen, if we're going to have to play some music together, I'm going to have to get into that jazz thing. You know, well, it's one thing, it sounds amazing, but also, you know, you want to play decent when you approach somebody. Anyway, we're forwarding, 17 and a half years later. And that's my husband, and we've been together for this entire time. And I've learned quite a bit from him about playing music. And he's learned quite a bit from me how to play more sensitive on the big bass.
All right. Well, very cool. Very cool. And so your husband is Joshua Ramos?
Yeah.
He is an amazing bass player. And at camp, I'm always talking about knowing people when they were young. But I remember Joshua when he was in high school.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's awesome. So I want to ask you about what is it like being, because first of all, that's rare for a classical musician to hear a big band and then say, I want to do that. I want to learn that. I want to learn jazz, because it's not particularly easy to switch the language, you know, because they're like two. Well, you're bilingual anyway, but can you compare that, like classical and jazz, to learning another language?
Sure. Let me think about this. The main thing about jazz that I love is that the rewards, once you spent the work learning the technical aspect of it, the reward is unlimited, because it's not just a matter of interpretation. So what do I mean by this is, we have the classical repertoire, which is so beautiful, it's amazing. You learn it, and it's all, as far as notes, sounds the same. It doesn't matter who plays, it's as far as thematic material. However, it's up to you how you interpret them, maybe with more color, maybe with more, maybe you can take a little bit more time in certain aspects, but it's not too much that you could really change, because you have to stay very strict to what's written, because, you know, that's classical music, which is, again, amazing. But, you know, anyway, in jazz, however, once you do get to the point where you could express yourself and you could completely, so you learn the technical aspect of it, the words, the you know, or what you could explain this way better, but in this case, harmony, how do you address harmony, how do you address, you know, how do you play appropriately, then when it's time to really express yourself, you simply dig into your heart and your soul, and you say through your instrument whatever you want to say. There's no rules in terms of no, only play what's written. No, you play what you want to play. And so it's limitless, right? Just like, would you ever run out of words to say mm-hmm. to your friends in a conversation? No. Would you ever run out of emotion to convey in any given moment? No. It's the same thing with music. You will never run out of ideas, of inspiration, of the times you want to express yourself. And to me, that's it's incredible. It's like wow. building something. It's incredible.
How do you feel about that in terms of being able to then lead the entire string section?
Oh, I think even through our experiences just going to Louisville just recently, mm-hmm. I think the most important quality a leader should have is that they should have the passion for what they do, because this way it catches up by anybody and everybody around them. And they should also have utmost positive, I think, it's all about I don't like when you have to tell somebody something that needs to be done now and you cannot just tell them right away. But you can, if it's from the heart and it's from the good for everyone together, it always comes from a great place. So if you say, please, make sure that you practice this passage a little bit, it's not to say you don't sound good now or you don't know. It's to say, Let's all of us do what we have to so we can all sound good. I think it doesn't matter who is, it doesn't matter really who is leader or not leader. You just have to, as an individual in any capacity of any ensemble, you just have to bring very good energy and you have to bring very good just intention, you know, and you have to know why you're there. You have to play music with your friends, you know. And I just want to briefly just kind of say, I just organized this event where no, it was not paid. It wasn't any sort of, so I called these 16 musicians and I just said, hey, I want to do a memorial for somebody that has passed. And no one ever asked me, somebody that was really murdered by the police, but no one asked me, oh, how much is it? Oh, it's going to be so hot. We can't bring classical instruments. Oh, it's going to be none of that. And it was one of the most rewarding, because you just go and lead with your heart and you lead with your best intention for us to sound good, because you never know who is listening, who that day is thinking of something not good in their life. You know, even sometimes people are even sometimes sick. So if you put your best effort forward from your heart, you essentially kind of like give light and hope, like what that concert did for me when I was in such a crossroad, being here 2 months, you know. So that's like our, it's very big responsibility, not to think that we're gods or anything at all, but to think that we have to bring our love and our kindness and our light in our music. It's very important.
And then the music sounds better.
Because
some things we forget is that without an audience, is there really music? If we just play for ourselves, what does that really mean? So there's greater purpose to what you're saying. So, you know, I this is so amazing. We talk all the time, and I'm not surprised that we've run out of time.
That's true.
We didn't get to any questions, but if anyone does have any questions, just make sure you get them to me or you put them in the chat, and we'll make sure that we get your questions for the future. So, well, thank you so much, Zara. This has been amazing. I think next time we'll have Joshua and Zara come on and pray for us more.
Wow, absolutely, it's a pleasure.
I can't wait till this all this pandemic is over and we can get back to being on stage together.
Yeah, me too. And one more thing I want to add. When we are playing something different than classical music, and as a string player, because I'm assuming some of the kids that are watching are string players, very, very important. Number one, most important, is to pay attention to how a horn player will breathe. And how a horn player will articulate with their tone and will breathe. And so the same like vocalist. So we cannot just constantly play notes, or think that if we play them legato or put lots of vibrato, they would make it more meaningful. It's a bit of a different way of how we interpret classical music to make it juicy, and how we interpret jazz. So in jazz, it's all about if you're in the pocket, if you articulate good, And if you make sure that you don't, that you really honor the silence as much as you honor the time that you play.
That concludes this episode of the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic Jazz Cast Series. We really appreciate you tuning in. Sharing these stories wouldn't be possible without the support of listeners like you. To hear previous episodes, or to make a donation, or to simply learn more about our mission, please visit us at chicagojazzphilharmonic.org. See you next time in the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic Conversation Series.